dealing with life's disappointments. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, for each one that you've brought tonight. Father, that you're a God that wants to give us your viewpoints of things that in this life have been hard and difficult and disappointing. And so, Father, I just thank you for how you work in our lives. And I ask you to just speak to each heart here, that you bless each family, that you show us disappointments and negative things, Father, that we need to evict from our life so that we can be all that you've called us to be and can love others like you do. So give us ears to hear, and I ask you to just put your words in my mouth and touch each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime around 2006, 2010, God showed me that I had some disappointments in my life, and he wanted me to let go of them. He wanted me free, and he wanted me to let go of the negative emotions that I was carrying so that I could move forward with him. He wanted to open my eyes to the beauty that was in my disappointments. And so I began to prepare the lesson and work the process of evicting the disappointments in my own life. And that was around 12 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago. And I can tell you on down the road that I have seen just the power of God to heal my broken heart. And so what I'm going to share tonight has been just through that time. So this lesson actually began 10 years ago, but now there's so much more that God's added to it. I actually taught this lesson at the last gathering in the fall, and it was the most popular lesson. And unfortunately, it didn't record. And so as I was preparing the list this year of what to do, I felt like I was to do it again. And this morning, it was real interesting how God confirms things in our lives. This morning, I opened up Instagram, and an author that I've read numerous books that he's written, and I follow him on Instagram. And here were his words this morning. His name is Bill Johnson. If I can't navigate disappointments, I'll never be able to handle fulfilled promises. I'm going to say that again. If I can't navigate disappointments, I'll never be able to handle the fulfilled promises. In other words, the things that God wants to give us to walk in the days ahead. And it really made me think. And I saw it as a confirmation of doing this lesson again. Oscar, there seems to be feedback. Can you help me with that, please? So grateful for Oscar and his willingness to help us. Right now, I want you to write down on your notes. Everybody should have a copy. Do you have a copy of the notes? You have something to take notes with? And then there are questions for those of you that are new tonight. There are questions for you to process, kind of like homework, and then an article that I wrote about life's disappointments. But write down three disappointments that come to your mind. Just things that maybe have happened to you or you've encountered in your life, either from your childhood or maybe something recent. Just write down three things. I'm not going to take it up. As I've stated, this is about your journey with God, so I'll never call on you or ask if you've done your homework. But write down three disappointments. The definition of disappointment is sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes, dreams, or expectations. I'll repeat that. The definition of disappointment is sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes, dreams, or expectations. And there are many different kinds of disappointments that we face. Some of them are little. Some of them, you know, maybe everyday things. You counted on someone, somebody's supposed to meet you for lunch and they don't show up. Some of them can be little things. Our child misbehaves and we're embarrassed. But some of them can be big and heartbreaking things that have happened. Perhaps someone you expected to spend the rest of your life with is gone due to a death or divorce. Maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you. Someone you trusted betrayed you. Maybe cutbacks at work caused you to lose your job. Not only was it a financial disappointment, but an ending of how you spent your days and who you spent it with, your coworkers. Maybe a business partner betrayed you. Maybe you prayed for someone to be healed and it hasn't happened yet, or it didn't happen and you were disappointed in God. Maybe He didn't answer your prayer like you wanted. What about a relationship coming to an end or family conflict? Sometimes we can have conflict in our families and, you know, our relationship is cut off for whatever reason. And that's a disappointment that someone in our own family didn't maybe take care of us or look after us or have our back or support us or wasn't there in our time of need. And have you ever depended on someone to do something and had an expectation of them and then they disappointed you? Another big disappointment is abuse, sexual, verbal, or physical. People that were supposed to love and care for us and treasure us don't for whatever reason. And oftentimes it's because of their own brokenness. Wounded people wound other people. And I know in my work and social work and different people from women to youth that I've worked with, there is more and more abuse and the heartbreak that it causes and the disappointment that it is that I've had just countless people, more than I really want to remember, that have just shared that. But thankfully they shared it, so I was able, I feel like, to give them some tools to help them move forward. Sometimes we make mistakes ourselves. Have you ever disappointed yourself? I know I've disappointed myself at times. I didn't respond like I should have. I didn't do something as well as I wanted to do it. And oftentimes we can be our own worst enemies. I was talking to someone just this past week, and I said, you are beating yourself up. God's forgiven you. I've forgiven you. You've got to forgive yourself. But sometimes we can keep our own self in bondage when we don't evict the disappointments, if we're disappointed in ourselves. And then there's a disappointment when someone says something insensitive or ugly. Perhaps someone you love made a wrong choice and it cost you personally. Unfulfilled expectations of people can lead to disappointments. And we expect someone to have God's heart for us and then they don't. Something I have heard of last week, I had someone stop me today, even when I was here at the Croc doing my workout, is people that have been hurt by the church. An expectation that because they're Christians, because they're in church, that they're going to love us and do everything right. And guess what? People are people. And Christians are going to make mistakes. Perhaps the church has hurt you. And I've seen that even cause people to push away from the church, to push away from Christians, to push away from God. And yet, I know in my own life when that has happened to me, when I've pressed into God and said, no, I'm not going to allow this to rob me of the peace and the joy. And I'm going to choose to love again. Maybe your spouse has disappointed you. You know, disappointments can kill a marriage. When we look at our spouse and we see how they, and maybe they have disappointed us in some capacity, but if we focus on that and make it our focus, it can kill and it can erode our marriage. What about infertility or the loss of a baby? Or child, or maybe a child born with birth defects. We all have visions of what our kids are going to be, or our grandkids are going to be, and who they're going to look like, and what they're going to have. And I know we have two grandsons, and they both have special needs. My one grandson was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and all of a sudden the world shifted. For all of us, and what we thought life would look like. And I'm happy to say my daughter and son-in-law have done a great job managing him, but it's a big job. And I know as a mom, my heart broke for my daughter because I saw that her life was changing when I had to go down and she had a two-month-old baby, and then this our little grandson had this diagnosis. Our other grandson was born 17 months ago, and when he got here, we got this call. He was stationed in Hawaii, and he was diagnosed with Down syndrome. And precious, adorable grandbabies. I have the cutest grandsons, I'm just telling you, and granddaughters. We have four granddaughters. But it was a shift from what we thought life was going to be. In many ways, but they are, I'm happy to say they're both overcoming. My kids are, as they've pressed into God, and I have no doubt how God is going to really use these precious little boys. What about your kids making wrong choices? You trained them, you showed them godly ways, you showed them right from wrong, and then they choose to do something stupid. And you're like, well, wait a minute, how did this happen? Our kids can disappoint us. Psalm 65, verse 2 says, and I like the King James Version. Normally I teach from the New International Version, but I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is in Him. And one of the things God began to show me as I began to deal with disappointments in my own life was that I could put my expectation in Him. But when we put our expectation in people, we can be let down. People are people, and they're going to disappoint us. And I know that I have probably disappointed many throughout my life, and for that I'm very sorry. It hasn't been my intention. My heart is to always walk in a way that pleases God, but nevertheless, I'm human, and there'll be times I'll fail or have failed. I haven't had all of the disappointments that I've shared with you, but I have worked with people that have had them. And tonight, what I want to share is just how God's heart and the heart of Jesus is to set us free so that we can help others overcome, and we can get our hearts right so we can do the things God's called us to do. Beth Moore made a statement one time, and Beth Moore is a popular, if you don't know, she's popular. She does a lot of women's conferences, and she said, "No one has fully embraced the concept of God alone apart from grave disappointments." We get to know God in a close way when we give Him our disappointments and we press into Him. And I will have to say that in different heartbreaks in my life, as I have said, "Okay, Lord, I'm looking to You. This doesn't make sense. This isn't where I want to be. But nevertheless, I'm looking to You to help me to move forward in my life." And here's something I discovered. Is God didn't promise us easy. He just promised to be with us. I cannot find a scripture that says, "Your life will be easy when you become a Christian." I haven't found it. I don't know. Maybe if you have, show it to me. But I haven't found that. But what I have found is over and over in scripture how God says He will be with us. John 16:33. If you have your Bibles, John is in the New Testament. So it's a few chapters over. John 16:33 says, and these are the words of Jesus. He said, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And when I read that one day, it was like a light bulb came on. Because what God is saying here, He tells us right here, you're going to have some difficult things in life. You're going to have some trouble. But nevertheless, I'm with you, and I want to help you overcome. The definition of overcome is to get the better of a situation. Is to make a profit, to get the better of something. And in my own life, from, you know, just, you know, my mom having a rare autoimmune disease and watching her slowly slip away for 9 years, to the disappointment of, at 52, my late husband was diagnosed with cancer and gone in 9 months. In the disappointments, and some of those major, and in many others, as I have looked to God and said, "Okay, You promised You'd help us overcome. And I don't want to waste the pain. So, Lord, change things in me. Work things in me and work things out of me that need to go." But Jesus tells us right there, you're going to have trouble in this world, or tribulation, or pressure. How many of you have felt pressure? Pressure in your job, pressure just from life, pressure in finances. But Jesus says right there, be of good cheer, take heart, I have overcome the world. And when we have Christ in us, we have a God-given right to overcome in life's adversity. Let's look at Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. So you can flip back. I love this scripture, 41 verse 10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Now, why would God tell us not to fear if there weren't going to be some scary things we were going to encounter? You know, He's preparing us. It's like, yep, you might encounter some scary things, but I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with My righteous right hand. And there have been many times I've had to visually picture myself holding the hand of Jesus as I have encountered difficult things. I remember walking down the hallway at Sid Peterson Hospital when they were telling me that my mom's brain damage was irreversible and that she would never be the same. And I remember just literally I had to hold my hand like this, like I was holding someone's hand. and call on God to give me strength. And I can tell you, He was there to do that and help me walk through that difficult time. And just like if my husband were to reach out to hold my hand, I have a choice to hold his hand or not. And God's offering His hand to us to hold. He wants to hold your hand through your difficulty. He wants to hold your hand through your disappointment. He wants to hold your hand in that family crisis or that crisis at work. The big question, though, is what are you going to do with your disappointments? Because disappointments can make us stumble and fall and go back to sinful things. Or we can look for things to medicate our pain, like drugs and alcohol, ungodly behavior, if we don't deal with them. I had someone recently just share with me how their parents were active in a church and, you know, doing things, serving communion, praying with people, and somebody found out that these two people had been divorced and married, and so they wouldn't let this couple continue to work in the church. And how that disappointment, when it broke the hearts of these people, and sometimes Christians can be very judgmental in things, and that can cause such hurt. And in this situation, how it caused her parents to push away from God, and how it began a path of destruction for the family. And I just looked at her and I just said, I'm so sorry that God's heart for you and your family was misrepresented. I'm sorry that these people judged them. But I looked at her and I said, but you have a godly heritage you can carry forward. We must lay down our pride, our expectations, and our disappointments and discover the goodness of God and the relationship with a wonderful Savior. And we can call for divine justice. Divine justice says, I'm going to use my disappointments as a stepping stone and use them to strengthen me so I can get free and help others. Disappointments put us at a crossroad in our life. And we get to choose which road we're going to take in our disappointments. What I found is that there were one of three roads. And if we don't deal with our disappointments and keep focused on the negative, then it will keep us from being all that God's called us to be. The first road that I found was the blaming drive. I'm going to call it blaming drive. So that's number one in listing the different roads. An opportunity. You find yourself disappointed and you find an opportunity to blame others. You get mad, you get angry, you become bitter, you lose hope. And oftentimes we blame God and can get mad at Him or accuse Him of something He never did. We simply live in a fallen world. And there are going to be disappointments on earth. And you know, something was interesting as God was working this into my heart. If you study in the New Testament about the Pharisees, you know, they had an expectation of how Jesus was supposed to come. And when He came in a manger, they totally missed Him. He was right there walking in their midst. But they couldn't see because they thought the king was going to come in a different way than God sent Jesus. God said, you know, I'm going to send Him and He's going to be born in a manger. And so the Pharisees were right there. They were critical, they were judgmental, and they missed Jesus right there in their midst. And so I challenge you, in your disappointment, get to know Jesus, not just about Him, but get to know Him in that personal way. And if you haven't given your heart to Christ, tonight's a great night. And the team will be over there to the side. I'll be happy to pray with you. Don't leave here without a personal relationship with God and with Jesus. And in our disappointments, we can take what's in our head and we can move it into our heart. And see, what happens is as the heart gets, we might intellectually understand something, but as the heart gets healed, it changes who we are, because we have an experience with God. In the hard things in my life, as I pressed into God, I've got an experience with Him that is unshakable than it was 15, 20 years ago, because I've walked with God in some dark valleys. We can dig deep and we can draw strength on Him. My late husband, a number of years ago, made a wrong choice and it cost me dearly. And I found myself on blaming drive. I got mad, I got angry, I got bitter, I got disillusioned. I blamed him, I blamed God for allowing it to happen. Blame, blame, blame. And sometimes when we are, if you find yourself blaming others, I challenge you to look at your heart, because forgiveness is our key in getting off of blaming road. Until you quit blaming and start forgiving, you're going to stay stuck. And I saw that in my marriage. As I worked through, as I forgave, as we worked to build our relationship, the beauty of that was the last 15 years we were married were really great, great years. The questioning road, what about the other road I found myself on, is questioning road. And I camped here for a while when my mom got sick. This road is often characterized by paralysis of analysis. It frequently says, why me? Why now? Why is this happening? I prayed for this or that and it didn't happen. Where is God? Why is my marriage a wreck? And that can keep us paralyzed if we're not careful. Instead of saying, God, what do you want to work in me? And what do you want to work out of me in this season? And when I quit asking the why question was when I began to move forward. The big issue is, can I still keep trusting God if I never get the answer? And I know in the beginning of my mom's illness, it kept me stuck, because I was questioning, how could a woman that was, she was a little 5'2" powerhouse. She was a good friend of Jimmy Nell's right here. And my mama led more people, more children to the Lord than anybody I know. I still have people coming up. Did you know your mom led me to the Lord? I had somebody come up after the gathering the other day and tell me that. But can we still trust God when things don't happen the way that we want them to? Let's look at Psalms 22, verse 1. And David, right here in the Bible, he found something. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? See, David felt like God had forsaken him and felt like God wasn't there. And then in Matthew, let's look at Matthew 27, verse 6. Matthew 27, verse 6. No, 27 verse 46. Sorry about that. As Jesus was right there at the cross, he cried out to God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here was Jesus right there embracing the cross. But he was like, he asked God, why have you forsaken me? And something I began to see is God didn't answer his own son in that moment. God did not answer his own son. And when I read that one day, I thought, huh, if he didn't do that, there must have been a good reason, because a resurrection was coming. The resurrection, the brighter day was coming. Jesus was going to overcome as he rose from the grave. But in that moment when he was embracing people that were stoning him and killing him, and he's trying to help people. How many of you felt like, I've been trying to help these people? I've been, you know, doing everything I can, and they haven't appreciated me or they haven't loved me. And we can ask that why question. But I challenge you, as we simply trust God and say, God, I choose to trust you right now. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it. God will meet us right where we're at. God didn't answer Jesus, so why do we think he owes us an explanation? The why question will keep you stuck. Don't ask why, ask what. God, what do you want to work in me, and what do you want to work out of me? Get to know Jesus in your life's disappointments. The best road I have found is the road of acceptance. Choosing not to live in my disappointment, but to walk in the faith and the joy and the trust, holding God's hand, knowing that I'm going to see at some point in my life redemption. It might take a while, it might take years. I'm not going to tell you that if you work some of the things I'm going to share with you, that things are going to change tomorrow. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you, as you press into God, you're going to find a relationship with him that's deep. You're going to find things that are going to empower you. And you're going to find yourself being able to give tools to other people. I think most of our circumstances in life are about us being conformed to the image of Christ. And on the acceptance road, what it's saying, it's not that, okay, well, I just accept this and I'm going to just sit here. That's not what I feel like God is saying. What it's saying is, God, you're big enough to fix this. You're big enough to heal my disappointment. You are bigger than my circumstances. And I love a quote by Graham Cook, and you've heard me say it a couple of times. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent in his power. You know, sometimes as we walk through things, some of my disappointments have been my greatest teachers. Hard? Yes. Would I want to go through them again? No. But did I learn a lot and did I change in the process? Absolutely. Romans 8:28. If you look at that, Romans is in the New Testament, which is the back part of your Bible. Romans 8:28. Is a scripture that you've probably heard before. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for our good. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. And in our disappointments, our circumstances, and the hard things, we can be conformed to the image of Christ as we press in. And the older I get, I see that. It's not about God just getting me out of a difficult circumstance. It's about the journey of walking with him and the experience that I can gain and how I can have things worked in me and out of me. Working it out for my good, as it states in this scripture, and notice that, and we know that in those things, the process, it's a process, and it's saying yes to the process, and that's important. Waiting for God to work it out is where faith comes in. Working it out is his job, but mine is keeping my heart right in the midst of the disappointment, and to not quit the process. It's so easy sometimes to quit, and that's one thing I'm concerned about in this generation. Everything is instant, it's microwave, and it's done. And I think we've got a whole generation of young people that we have to be real careful that things don't just happen overnight. But that's what we can think, because that's what we can think. I'm laughing because I was thinking of something. something we thing we take for granted. I remember we had moved to another town, and we were renting this older home, and my oldest son was in high school, and he came in one day and he said, "Mom, he wanted something to eat, and our microwave had just gone out." And I said, "Okay, well, give me a little bit of time." The microwave went out, and so I need to boil water and, you know, whatever he was wanting. And I put water on the stove, and he said, "Well, that's not how you get boiling water." And I looked at him, I said, "What?" He goes, "Well, we can't boil water." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, we have a microwave. That's how you boil water." Dawned on me the child had never seen me boil water on the stove. I was like, "Come here, let me show you something." It's pretty comical, you know, just things we take for granted. But we've raised a whole society of young people that are used to things being instant. Don't quit the process. I think sometimes we quit too soon, and we can miss the goodness of God. When my late husband was diagnosed with a rare cancer, and let me just say, we prayed in faith until the day he took his last breath. But I remember walking around MD Anderson, and I was trying to wrap, he had 10-hour chemo treatments. that were really brutal, and I had to just get some air, and I remember I was walking around the block at MD Anderson, and I said, "God, I don't see this as a win-win. I mean, Joe, if you heal him, great. We have a fabulous testimony. And if you take him home, it's great for him because he's going to be in your presence. But what about me? It doesn't, you know, didn't really seem fair to me. I was going to be left here." And I felt God speak to my heart in that moment. He said, "Kathleen, I will either heal Joe or I'll heal your broken heart." And when I felt the Lord tell me those words, I knew somehow this may not roll or turn out the way I had wanted it to. But I can tell you now, that's been, it will be gone 10 years in October, how God has just worked in the process of healing my heart, and how he has brought so much good out of that tragedy. And God has been very gracious and given me another man that loves me dearly. And I appreciate him very much. He's a good guy. He's made me laugh an awful lot. And God's used him to bind up my heart that was broken and help me to live life again. Psalms 147 promises this. Let's look at Psalms 147. This is one I clung to. It says, Psalms 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." If your heart is broken, I challenge you to underline this, write it down, put it where you can see it. And every time the hurt surfaces, knock on the door again. Say, "God, this still hurts. Will you heal it? God, this still hurts. Will you heal it?" Letting go of disappointments is not a one-time event. It's oftentimes a process. And the greater the disappointment, the longer the process. The good news is God always supplies us with the grace we need to let go. And letting go, when we let go and say, "Okay, this is disappointing. I'm going to call it what it was, but I choose to let go." When we do that, it's a declaration of our trust in God. And often, and when we go to the Lord and we embrace the process and we seek God in our pain, it's that process that makes us rich. Psalms 84. I'm going to take you to Psalm 84. It says, 84 verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage." A pilgrimage is a journey to go through. Verse 6 says, "As they pass through the valley of Baca. And Baca means tears. As they pass through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. They make it a place. They make that desert place a place where not only can they drink, but others can drink. The autumn rain it covers with pools. They go, you go. Insert your name, Betty, Nancy, Donna, Linda, Kevin, Alan. As they go from strength to strength until they appear before God in Zion. You know, you can go from strength to strength, and as you embrace, as you choose to let go, as you choose to hang on to God in that, you can go from strength to strength. Digging deep instead of sitting in self-pity is what attracts, I feel like, an outpouring of God in our lives and a promise from things to come. Who are you going to become in the process of letting go of your disappointment as you partner with God? This is what moves us from strength to strength, is not wasting our disappointment. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61 says, right here, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for captives." God wants to heal our broken hearts in any area that they've been broken, whether it's divorce, whether it's betrayal, whether it's abuse, whether it's death. Whatever that disappointment is, God wants to move you from strength to strength. And as He heals you, then you have a testimony. You have a testimony of who God was for you in a hard and difficult time. And 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says right here, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect." And that means, that word perfect means mature. It means to grow. "My power is made perfect in weakness." God's not saying, suck it up, be strong. He's saying, just embrace it. Embrace your difficulty. Doesn't mean we have to like it. Doesn't mean we have to say it's okay. But as we take it to God, that's embracing the process. And right here, you know, as it was talking about that journey, sets yourself in Psalm 84 on the journey. As we go through that journey, that season will pass. It's not a destination, it's about the journey. And it was in those journeys, in that journey, that we can, it can be a catalyst for our own growth if we let it. But if we do not, spiritual disease can set in when any of us has disappointments and we don't take it to God and don't open it up for His healing touch. If we don't deal, we'll keep focused on the negative, what we don't have. And so I think that that is something for all of us, that evicting what are the negative things in your life. It's like, okay, here you go, God. Okay, here, I'm tossing it to you. Oh, too big for me to carry. Oh, too difficult, but Lord, I'm trusting you. And so when we do that, we declare our trust in God. If we allow disappointments to dominate our heart, it'll make us sick and can blind us to God actually working in us. Another benefit of letting go is we can be a source of encouragement and a spring that bubbles up, and we can supply things to other people as we have an experience with God Himself. There are a lot of people that have head knowledge. There are a lot of people that know, perhaps, and can quote a lot of scriptures. But if we don't apply it and we don't seek God and look to Him and have our own experience, it's experience that makes us rich. And tonight, I want to, as we close, I want to play a song for you. And I want you to just listen to the words of this song. And just like Nancy was talking about, let it wash over you. And let God speak to you. And in this, I just want to encourage you to give Him. Admit your disappointment. You know, that's what I love about God, is He's a God we can run to and say, help. God, I need you. God, I don't like this. I wish I wasn't here. But God, you're right there. You're right there with me. And so I want you to just listen to the words. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Again, only if you want to. Right there in your seat. But listen to the words there. It's called Blessings by Darla Day. Everybody, you'll just close your eyes and just have your own moment with the Lord.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to
Tonight I want to just give you an opportunity to bring your disappointment to the Lord. And as the song was playing, I just felt like there's some of you here, the disappointment has been so great. And you're almost afraid to open the box and give it to God. And God just, I just felt Him say, tell Him to just give me the box. I'm right here. I want to touch and bind up the brokenhearted. And God has seen your pain. He's seen your weeping. He's seen your loneliness. He's seen your desperation. And He wants to be a daddy to you, and He wants to walk with you in this. So, Father, I just ask for great grace. God, You're so worth the pain. And God, You bind up broken hearts. So I ask for courage right now for those that just need courage to give You their broken dreams, broken hearts, give You the betrayal, give You the big stuff, the hard stuff, the abuse. So if you want to begin the process, admit your disappointment. Because when we admit it, we evict it. And just say, God, I just admit that I'm disappointed because this happened. And You fill in the blank. The next thing is to forgive either yourself or God or the person. When we choose to forgive as an act of our will and give up God our heart, then He can change it. So just say, Jesus, I come. And I choose to forgive the person who's betrayed me, hurt me, disappointed me. God, I choose to forgive You. Or forgive yourself if you've disappointed yourself. Choose to let go of the disappointment. And I want you to just picture yourself handing it over to Jesus. Now ask God to open your eyes to just see Him. And open your eyes to see your disappointment as a stepping stone. And make a declaration, God, I choose to trust You in my disappointment. And I choose to partner with You to let You work things in me and work things out of me. Open my heart for You to heal, because God, Your word says You will bind up the brokenhearted. Father, I thank You that You meet us right where we're at, and when we do our part, You do Your part. And so I pray for blessing upon blessing upon blessing on each person represented here and those listening by audio. Father, I just bring these people, I bring my friends to You, God, and I ask that You do great things in their lives. and make them pillars in our community so they can help others who've been disappointed and are stuck. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And I thank you that you're good. In Jesus' name, amen.